I know he's at first. You've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. I want you to get up right now. Get up, go to your windows, open them, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen, you fuckers, you screwheads. Here is a man who would not take it anymore. A man who stood up against the scum, the cunts, the dogs, the filth, the shit. Here is someone who stood up.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Militia Monday on U of Tread on Me Radio. What is today's date? Today's the 28th of... What month are we?
February. It has been one of those kind of months.
28th of February, 2011. And tonight our guest is Timothy, how do you say your last name? Guinea?
It is pronounced Guinea.
Okay, Timothy Guinea. And Timothy Guinea is from the Arizona State Guard. And we're going to be talking to him tonight about what's going on with the State Guard, some bills that have been put through the state legislature and have been passed or conditionally passed.
They're underway.
So
on their way.
We're going to be talking to him about that tonight and find out about what the Arizona State Guard is doing and what's happening in Arizona right now. So welcome to the show. Hey, thanks for coming on, too. I really appreciate it. It was kind of short notice.
Oh, well, not a problem at all. Yeah, you know how it is. Always a fun time.
Well, let's start off with this. Everybody's aware of.
Glad to be here.
Well, I'm glad you're here.
Having me.
I'm glad you're here. I'm really glad you could make it on. I enjoyed talking with you the other night for that short period that we were able to talk. You were telling me some interesting things. You know, I'd like to actually get into that for a bit here, if you wouldn't mind. Let's talk about your Arizona Guard first. Not what's planning, but who you guys are right now.
Okay.
How did you guys get started? How did you guys get started? Why did you get started?
It's very interesting, as a matter of fact. I've been kind of on and off involved in the movement here in Arizona for quite a few years now. And I had run into an individual who, interestingly enough, is no longer affiliated with our group. Via one of the websites, and had said that they were organizing a meeting of a bunch of different leaders of various militia-type groups at a local restaurant here in town. And so I basically thought, well, I'd like to go there and see what's going on. So I did. Met a few of the folks. Not a lot actually was accomplished at the meeting, but except that I met a couple of individuals, and then our first day of training, we went out in the field, and there was a total of four of us. So, you know, we started out and have worked our tail off so far. We just concluded our 16th straight week of training, a weekend of training, and basically, we are now about 21 strong and pretty much adding one or two to three a week to our numbers. We decided as part of our development of our own little group to create an LLC as a company, which we got through the state as we are considered. We are now the Arizona State Guard LLC here in Arizona. Mm-hmm. So we actually are our own limited liability company, and interestingly enough, the bills that are being talked about in the state legislature, we have nothing to do with it, but they had decided to change the name from like something like the Arizona Citizens Homeland Defense Force or something. It was really bad. to actually calling it the Arizona State Guard.
Okay.
And unbeknownst to us, that happened, and we had filed our paperwork, and so we kind of have a company, and they have some bills that are working on, so I don't know.
All right. Well, you know what? Here's what I would like to do. That LLC part is something I want to get into, but I wanted to hold that off towards the end of the show. That's a completely different area that we wanted to go into. And I've got some interesting questions for you on that one. So, so let's hold off on the whole, you know, on the LLC aspect of it, the licensing aspect of it, and talk more about the formation of it, how it's, you know, what you guys are doing there now. So these bills, let's talk about these bills now. You guys are out there training regularly then. In fact, you said you've been ongoing now for 16 straight weekends. People coming in, being at it. I think that's a good thing. I think that, well, we've all heard stories from the, you know, different border ops and things like that that go on. We've all heard this, you know, we've all heard the horror stories about the newbies out there who don't know what they're doing.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
So, you know, I think that's important. You know, you should not be engaging anything that could be potentially life-threatening if you don't know what you're doing.
Absolutely.
So I kudos to that to you guys for that one and being smarter and realizing, you know, if we're going to be effective, we need to know what we're doing. So kudos on that one. So how did this all get started? How did you get involved with trying to get, or even thinking of the idea of trying to get some bills passed here?
Well, this was something that has been ongoing without our participation, in all honesty. Representative or Senator Jack Harper in 2007 actually got a bill passed that actually created this Citizens Defense Force. And our illustrious Director of Homeland Security, Janet Napolitano, then governor, vetoed it. And I guess they weren't able to overcome the veto with votes, so the bill died. Unfortunate. But of course, you know, as in all good things, the idea never died. And so it has been growing and growing and growing, and with a lot of the things that have been going on in the last 2 years in Arizona, there's been a bigger and bigger and bigger push to make this happen. And so now we have some bipartisan in the state, although mostly it's not bipartisan, but we now have people from both the House, the State House, from the State Senate that are really pushing this. We got rid of some of the folks that we didn't need, and we got rid of some of the rhinos that were in place, and got rid of some entrenched Democrats, and got some Tea Party people in who have also been backing this, and it looks like it's going to move forward. I understand, and I mean, this is not an official thing, but I understand that it's, you know, they've obviously had conversations with Governor Brewer here, and she said if the bill comes through in substantially the form that it's at now, she's willing to sign it. So, you know, they have reconciled the language pretty much between both the House and the Senate. So, it's passed a couple of the committees, and it's about ready to hit the floor in the House of Representatives here. I think that we're not too far away from going to the floor in the Senate. We fully expect, and this is coming from the sponsors and the co-sponsors of the bill, they fully expect this an implementation by the 1st of July of this year.
So they expect these bills to pass and for the Arizona State Guard to be implemented.
And to be implemented informed, yes.
Informed, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
now,
who's sponsoring
this? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead. Tell me about the interesting part.
Well, one of the interesting parts on this is and I have sat in on several of the various different committee meetings, both from the House side and from the Senate side, and it's been very interesting to listen to the proponents of the bill, because for the first time in a very, very long time, I'm hearing state legislatures, state representatives, and state senators using the terms state sovereignty in the MAPS committee meeting, which is the Military Protocol and Affairs or something. Military Affairs and Protocol, something, I don't know, anyway. Some kind of a Mason is a House, a Senate committee. I think we counted 15 different times with several different senators. I mean, we're talking like 6 or 7 different of the senators that were in this committee using that term, the sovereignty of the state, the rights of the citizens to protect themselves, to not be under the heel of the federal government. It's really interesting how they were speaking. And we're sitting there going, yeah, it was really good. many, many occasions recently, which is really kind of a major turnaround in the state of Arizona from what has been a couple years back.
Oh, no, I remember. No, that's actually interesting. That's... No, that is actually pretty interesting there. I'm actually encouraged by a lot of this, and I'm not sure if people are aware, but Tennessee recently, from what I'm understanding, recently, as in, you know, the past several months, did something similar as well. They actually formalized, or they formally recognized, I guess, the Tennessee State Militia.
Well, I've heard.
I was supposed to have him on a couple weeks ago, but he was deathly ill, so I told him to not even worry about it. But so, you know, I'm getting encouraged by this. I really am. There's a few states, you know, there seems to be a few states out there that are holding out, that are trying to stand their ground against federal intrusion and trying to actually go back to the Constitution, it seems, including, you know, talk about recognizing their militias.
So one of those leading the charge, I believe.
What was that?
I believe Arizona is one of those states that is leading the charge in that. I really believe that.
Arizona seems to be doing more than other ones. You know, you've got some good people out there that are really trying to do some stuff. You know, I don't agree with everybody out there and everything they say, but I agree with the majority of the things I agree with a lot of the things that people are trying to do out there. I think you've got some decent sheriffs out there.
Yep, we have understand that, some that are not so good.
And you've got some that are not so good as well. You know, you've got an amalgamation of everything, but it seems as if more and more people are starting to come around. Yep. I do wish I would hear that more of those people that are being affected by the issues in Arizona were actually getting involved. I wish I would hear more of that.
Some of them are. I mean, you know, the Arizona ranchers are screaming bloody murder out here. Because of what's happening in the southern part of the state. I mean, some of these folks are being virtually overrun down there. I mean, we have, and I don't know how many of your listeners are aware of this, but we have lost in the state of Arizona about 80 miles worth of territory to the cartels.
Oh, yeah. No,
I mean to the point where there are American citizens with property down there that have to keep their heads down at night. Because of the gunshots going off. I mean, we have border communities, and it's not so much in the actual border communities like Douglas and Disney and things like that, whereas it's more in the outlying areas. The ranchers are the ones particularly that are being affected. I mean, cattle are being stolen, cattle are being killed, you know, their properties are being destroyed, fences are being knocked down, which is not a cheap, when you're talking the number of acres, you're talking an expensive fence down there.
Oh, yes, you are. So, wasn't there recently just a couple of beheadings? Wasn't there just recently a couple of beheadings now on the, on our side of the border? I thought I had heard that in this news story somewhere or something.
I think it was on their side, but I'm not positive.
Okay, well, that's good then. So far, that hasn't crossed. Hopefully, that hasn't crossed our border yet. But no, the listeners.
Well, there's violence over here. Don't kid yourself.
Oh no,
we've had many of the folks that have worked the border down here have had shots taken at them. Now we haven't had a lot of major armed confrontations yet. I mean, mostly it's their LPOPs that will shoot down when they see some guys, you know, out on patrol, and then they'll book out and leave their high ground. But the issue is wide and it's varied. Many of the spotters that work for the cartel actually live in Phoenix and Tucson, and then they'll go out to the border area and they'll sit. They're actually on the payroll. You know, we have, of course, no proof. We certainly suspect that there are a fair number of border patrol agents that are not exactly the cleanest, but, you know, who knows?
You know,
there's a lot of stuff going on. It's a dirty, dirty situation.
No, it's become the Wild West again.
Except that now you have all the money that's nobody's robbing trains. What they're doing is they're bringing cocaine in.
Yeah, and that's
been an awful lot of cocaine on backs of mules here.
You know, that's a funny thing. You know, this the border problem there has been around since, well, hell, when I first joined my first militia back in 87. One of my first FTXs I went on was out in Arizona. We hooked up with some guys out there. We went down to the border, and there was still there was always problems there. New Mexico, Texas, Arizona, California. It's all been, you know, one big long supply train coming through there.
Definitely. there has been a major increase. Let's see, I moved to Arizona in 91, and there has been a complete change in the whole thing in that time frame, to the point where it really truly, you go south of I-8 and get a little bit further south from Tucson, it becomes no man's land out there. It is not good.
Oh, well, you know,
like that. I mean, there were
I've had pictures sent to me, PDF files of just pictures that have been taken by these cartel guys and what they're doing to bodies. And, I mean, I saw one that was just one big long slideshow of two bodies being thrown out in the desert, sliced open, and then letting the buzzards just pick them apart. And, I mean, they ran it through all the way down to where there's bone. There's nothing but bone, damn near. So, I mean, it's amazing what's really going on down there. And we've had several guests on before from other groups and other organizations that are doing off down there. So, we've got an earful here about what really is going on down there. It's really pathetic. And, in fact, I'm really surprised that the state hasn't come out even sooner, even harder than it has now. I mean, this is not just a drug problem anymore. I mean, it's literally appears to be what could be forming into a full-on invasion, literally, by a paramilitary organization.
Well, I mean, that's the drug cartels are a paramilitary organization. I mean, unfortunately, the drug money allows them to buy lots and lots of goodies toys that our guys don't really have to work with. And then when you have a federal government that is requiring people to go down and shoot beanbags at full automatic AK-47s that they got from, China or Guatemala or some place further south, I mean, that's why you have guys dying out. That's why you have that one Terry guy died out there.
Yes.
It's horrible.
No.
I mean, dude, beanbags? Are you kidding me?
I wouldn't want to be a cop in a riot situation with beanbags, let alone on the border.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, they had the National Guard down there before, and they took their bullets away from them.
Mm-hmm.
And the National Guard were actually...
They're no longer there. They've been pulled. They've been yanked. They were down there for show and some photo ops, and now they're gone again.
Hey, I remember hearing stories about the National Guard actually being run off. I mean, they were running, being chased off.
Well, if you don't have any bullets to fight back with, you can't stay.
No, and that's sad that our own National Guard is being literally chased off of our own land. So,
yep.
Hopefully this.
I heard some reports that there were shots being directed in more concentrated form coming across. It wasn't onesies and twosies. It was like some real. They were really shooting at some BP trucks and some of the folks down there, so some sheriff trucks. So, I mean, they actually were pouring a fusillade of fire in. So,
well, I've got a question for you. This 16 weeks of training that you guys have been going through now, the Arizona State Guard, or your group. Now, what is your group specifically called? Arizona State Guard LLC?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
We are.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I wasn't confusing the names there with the Arizona State Guard.
No, it's a little confusing because. But that's okay. I mean, it sounds to me like we're all kind of thinking in the same direction, so that's a good thing.
All right, so let me ask you a question then. What is your mission then? What is your goal? What is your objective? You're training for a reason. When you get down to the border, like you said, you haven't gone down there yet because you don't feel prepared to go down there. What is your mission statement? What is your goal when you get down to the border? What are you looking to achieve?
Well, we have a multi-pronged task. From one perspective, we're going down there, whether the Arizona State Guard ever becomes formed from a state perspective or not, we're still going to do the citizen soldier thing, okay? So, we would prefer not to have it go that way, but if that's the way it's got to go, we're doing it anyway. We'll just keep adding citizens and soldiers and such until we put a stop to it. Again, we're not in a position in our group, of course, we can decide what we will and will not do. But where we will and where we will not participate. But our goal primarily is to get ourselves ready to be a part of the Arizona State Guard, not LLC, but the actual state organization. And we'd like to go in as a functioning unit, already ready to go. And that has really been our primary focus. Is is to get ourselves ready to be, to go in as a cohesive, you know, we would like to go in as a platoon size, organization, if not greater.
Okay.
And as to that effect, we're recruiting and talking to folks and bringing people in that actually want to do something. From an operational perspective, we fully intend to put a stop to the drug running. Okay. We intend to intercept the mule trains and place them on citizens arrest. And when, of course, if we are part of the Arizona State Guard, from the government's perspective, then we will actually have full arrest capabilities just like the National Guard. One of the advantages on that bill is it does give us all the rights, the Arizona State Guard will have all the rights of the National Guard to go in and arrest and effect detainment the whole nine yards. But that's our goal. We also have a twist on this because a lot of the groups down there, they're just out looking to try to stop the border incursions, and that's a good thing. But we have a humanitarian aspect to our mission, which I think is really, really important, and so many people are missing this as a concept because every one of our group is being Red Cross trained. We have three medics in our 21-person group so far, I mean full-blown medics. The reason is we fully intend to provide humanitarian aid, food, water, and medical attention where needed to those who are part of mule trains. A lot of them are conscripts. Most of these guys aren't volunteers coming in there. So, you know, and that therein is I think one of the things that sets us apart is, you know, if they shoot at us, we're going to shoot back and we're going to win. But yeah, we hope that they won't do that. We hope that we can show we can attack the point with overwhelming force and so as to not be in that kind of a situation.
Okay.
That's really the plan. Ultimately, all of us, and I think everybody that works the border, not just in the Arizona State Guard LLC, but all the other groups out there, I think ultimately we would all like to see us take back the high ground and keep it. Right now, what's been going on with all the various different border operations down there is we're playing the Korean War all over again, where, you know, go take Hill 51, okay, leave Hill 51, well, okay, got to go back and take Hill 51, and so on and so on. And the reality is what we need to do is take the hill and hold them. We have to hold the high ground. If we hold the high ground, it will go a long, long way to stopping the incursions coming in.
Well, you know, I mentioned that on an old show when I had some other groups on before that. This is really reminiscent of what the stories that my father told me about Vietnam and, you know, the things you heard about Korea. They've taken the hills, they've got sniper encampments up there, spot locations, things like that. And all these people are lost taking, like, Hamburger Hill, things like that. You know, all these people are lost trying to take these hills, and then they were always given back to them. So, and that seems like what is going on down there. You know, they've taken the high ground, they've taken the hills, they've got their spotters out there, and they can basically do whatever they want because they can see for miles and miles, and they know exactly where everybody's at.
Yeah, exactly. And by the time we get there, many times now, sometimes they can take pot shots and we get a shot at trying to get them off. But usually, by the time we can scale up to the tops of the hills, they're already beat out and gone. Now, see, the key to this is taking that hill and now holding it. You know, the biggest problem with the border operation.
Hello?
Hello?
Okay, we're still good. It sounded like the phone went dead for a second. Are you there? Huh.
I think we might have lost him.
I think so. All right, well, give me a moment here. Let me try and give him a call right back. We'll see what's going on there. Hang on a second. Sorry about that, everybody. His phone wasn't working earlier as well, so maybe this one got dropped in the. Maybe this one got thrown in the water too.
Oh, it's hard to know. It's one of those things that I don't know if I'm echoing on the stream here. I'm getting a little bit of feedback, so and I'll kind of wait for some feedback from the peanut gallery to see if I was echoing there. It's definitely a nasty situation down there in Arizona.
Last thing again, hang on. Let me bring you back on, okay? Okay. All right, well, you know what? We started to get some questions from the chat room that I would really like to bring about. In fact, let me go here first.
Sure.
if anybody wants to call in, if you have questions for Tim so far about the State Guard that the state of Arizona is forming, the actual group that they're forming, or his Arizona State Guard LLC, you can call in. The toll-free number is 877-374-3980, or you can drop your name in Skype, and we'll bring you in through. You can bring your Skype. You can drop your Skype name in the chat room on our on your Tredome, and we'll bring you in through Skype. But so if you have any questions, or you can post them in the chat room, and I'll read those off. But again, if you post them in the chat room, I might not see them all. But one of the questions that we had was this. Let me go here. Gary Hunt, why an LLC when your authority is constitutional? If you are an LLC, you are not a government authority, rather a private corporation. I can see liability problems, even though limited, that could be destructive of the whole purpose.
Hi, Gary. Gary asked a very good question, and primarily there are several things that are going on, and one of the things that we wish that our intent is at some point we are going to be able to provide armed guard services to some of the that would need and would be willing to
Hang on a second. Your phone is breaking up really bad again.
Breaking up again?
Yeah, there you are. You're fine now.
Okay.
Did this one get dropped in the water too?
No, actually. But anyway, our goal really is to form at some point down the road is to form a guard patrol company, and that will allow us then to be in a position to provide guard services for the folks down there who really need it and do it on a legal basis. It allows us to get the insurances and things that we need. Otherwise, we have to just operate on our own. And that's not necessarily a good concept, or as good, let's say.
All right, another question that came in. ASG LLC, is that like, well, Arizona State Guard, ASG LLC, is that like a Blackwater or XE type situation?
No.
I mean, are you basically turning into a private security firm?
I guess, actually, if you think about it, Blackwater was a guard company at one point, just a highly specialized one. We basically, again, kind of goes back to we would at some point like to be able to set our own guard agency up and move forward from that perspective. In the interim, we're not doing that, so.
Okay.
Can't do that until you're actually licensed by the state of Arizona.
Okay. So then with the Arizona State Guard LLC, what you're trying to do then is basically you want to operate within the grounds of a militia, but you're worried about liability, so instead of going that route, you're taking it to the business route, forming a security company, so then you can provide security and, if need be, engage in deadly force or whatever is needed to stop illegal activity on private property, and still have the insurances and everything in place for that as well. Okay, so that's okay. I understand now what you're trying to do with that. I had a question about that as well. I wasn't sure if you were going the militia route because I know that there was another group out there who started off as a militia and then became an LLC as well. But they were not intending to operate as an LLC. They were operating as a militia, yet that would create problems with them, especially when it comes to the state licensing department.
Right. Exactly. Well, yeah, there are some groups out there that have been trying to some small groups have been out there trying to work with the ranchers, but the reality is if they get caught by the DPS, they're going to get busted. You can't provide guard services without a license. You just can't do it. And if you do it, no matter what you're going to call yourself, if you're, you know, it's kind of like if it quacks like a duck and it swims in the water and blah, 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 then, you know, it's a duck, you know? So we intend to do everything the right way because that's the way it's supposed to be. We can defend our state and the citizens herein and do it legally. We don't have to go outside the realms of the law to make this happen because really, as Gary said, we do have the right to do all these things, but you have to do it the correct way.
So let's go back to that point then. Like you mentioned, Gary brought up that point. Why the LLC route, though, when your authority is constitutional?
Well, because you know, we can say constitutional, but there are, you know, we are required to follow the laws of the state. if we are not in agreement with those laws, then we need, as citizens, and this is the basis for our republic. Our republic was built on the rule of law. That was the inherent reason that this form of government was chosen by our founders. And so we have to realize we may disagree with the law, but then if that's the case, it gets passed. But then it is incumbent upon the citizens of this country to change those laws. Okay, and we do that peacefully through the voting process. You know, if you have a representative or a senator that's not doing what they're supposed to do, get the bum out of office. It's really simple. You get enough votes, you get enough people to follow your line of thinking, and you remove him. The Tea Party did that very well in this last election. And we should all really take a good hard look at what they did, because they really changed the political landscape in this country to a large degree. Now, yes, I know some of the people thought they'd do one thing and they did another, but the bottom line is what was shown and what was proven to anyone who was looking is that the process works when we as citizens use the process. When we do it the way we're supposed to do it, the process works. And so if we're...
Theoretically.
To be a guard company, you've got to be licensed to be a guard company, then that's what we have to do.
Yeah, theoretically the process is supposed to work.
Yeah, but it's been kind of broken as of late, and that's been kind of the source of a lot of problems we've been having lately.
I agree with what your compatriot is saying, but at the same point, whose fault is it that it's broken?
Oh, it's ours. It's all 100% yours, mine, your parents,
absolutely.
My parents.
Absolutely.
My parents. It goes back. It's all our fault.
My parents were asleep. You know, my grandparents were asleep, you know, and the population in this country has been asleep for a very long time. So what are we doing about it? Well, slowly but surely, through the efforts of some, you know, I mean, super amazing efforts that are being expended out there to try to wake people up and rouse them from their stupor. I mean, and it's working. Step by step, inch by inch, slowly but surely, it's happening. I do hope that there's enough time to save our country before it goes to heck in a handbasket. And I think that there is if we get going. I believe that. I'm optimistic about our country. I know we're going to have some really serious economic times coming up, but, you know, we've had serious economic times before. Now, I'm not an economist, so I don't want to really get into a discussion on, you know, how bad is it going to be. That's not the point. We need to know that this is our country. You know, good times, bad times, you know, it is what it is. And we need to make it work, and we can.
All right, hang on. Let me go back over some of the questions that there's a whole bunch of typing going on.
There is.
Oh, yeah. Well, you should. If you're my computer, man, you could jump into the chat room and check it out. There's a whole bunch of people typing on, and I just asked everybody to retype their questions because there was too many coming at me for me to really catch them. Okay, so basically then what you're looking at then is, well, like Gary pointed out, you're looking at becoming like a Pinkerton, a Pinkerton type thing back in the 1800s?
Okay, that's reasonable. That's a reason.
Back in the 1800s.
We thought about also going at some point for our investigative, licensing to be an investigation company as well, which probably makes a lot of sense as we move forward in this. One of the things that I want to mention to your listeners is that everybody that is part of the Arizona State Guard LLC is step-by-step going through the various licensing things that would be required, okay, to really prove that we have serious intent. We're not a bunch of off-the-wall cowboys out there, you know, wanting to just go out and shoot a whole bunch of Hispanic folks. It's not the point. This is not it at all. Every one of us is going through the state licensing requirements to be an unarmed guard. Every one of us will go through the licensing requirements to get our armed guard cards. Every one of us is going to take DPS upgrade shotgun and rifle classes. Whether we need to learn those things or not is not the point. It's the sheepskin that we need. And we're taking our Red Cross. We're going to be taking search and rescue, classes and things like that. want to show, you know, I think everybody that's in the from a militia perspective should look at this as a concept, and I know a lot of people are going to be type, no government. But the point is that we need to not be ashamed of who we are and what we stand for and what we represent. I'll give you a great example. We were, three of us were attending one of the Appropriation Committee meetings last week, and there was one of our opponents was in there in this thing, a Representative Campbell. And this gentleman, all he kept, it was really funny, the first question out of his mouth is, asking one of the other folks is, well, so what kind of criteria do you have to say that you want to be in the Arizona State Guard? Well, I've got 4 years in the military. Oh. and well, what about humanity? What about the being able to take care of people? Well, I've had medical training as a result of all that. It's search and rescue technique. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
What happened was every time that this guy came up with a reason why it was a horrible thing to have, you know, he's doing the liberal talk, you know. It's a horrible thing to have a citizen's, you know, citizen-soldier concept, okay. He got rebutted because we were able to say, well, we have this card, we have that card, we're attending these classes and this certification. And every time he tried to go around there, he had nowhere to go. He finally just sat down, well, I don't like it. And that was where he had to go with it. He had nothing. And this is what our opponents can't stand, you see, because what they want to do is they want to paint us all as cowboys. That's really what they want to do. They want to say, well, these guys are out of control. But they don't have the legitimacy because they haven't attended this and they haven't been in this. And yeah, they're a veteran, but that was a long time ago. And this is, and they haven't headshot, they don't have this certification and that, because they all come from academia.
Right.
That's their mindset. So we play that game with them. Every time he turned and had something to say, he was shot down because, well, yeah, we know that. Yeah, you know, we're providing humanitarian aid. Well, how are you going to do that? Well, we're all taking the Red Cross certification on this, and we have three medics in our team, that one of which has actual combat experience. Oh. I mean, you see the point? That's the point. Now, I know a lot of people disagree with that, but and everybody should seek their own path on that, but this is the route that we've chosen.
All right, let me ask you, I've got a couple of questions here, and I'm sorry if I haven't been able to get to everybody's questions soon enough, but I'm not going to interrupt the guest while he's in the middle of speaking to keep popping new things, so.
I can't
a couple of questions for you real quick. Who are your clients going to be? How are you going to get paid?
Well, number one.
Who is your target?
As we set up an LLC and go through the agency, you know, legitimize and go through the state thing on that, so. Everything that we're doing currently is all volunteer.
Okay.
Our own ammo, it's our own gas, it's our own uniform, it's our own just like everybody else.
Okay. And eventually down the road, who are you looking at for your clientele?
Somebody who wants to pay us for us to provide extraordinary service at a reasonable price.
<You know? laughs> Are you going to be offering your services to individual ranchers and things like that? Or are you looking at strictly a business environment?
I want to make a difference in the southern part of our state. That's what I want.
Okay.
So does everybody else.
The next question is, what are the rules of engagement for taking a hill?
Well, that's a good question. They haven't been formulated because we haven't taken a hill yet.
All right, so you're still working on those areas, so you haven't gotten down your rules of engagement
yet. Now, keep in mind a couple of things. This is something to keep in mind. We are not going to go take a hill until such time as we can keep it. And I'm sure the person that was asking that question was asking from the perspective of, you know, there's a lot of logistics that have to take place. There's a lot of support that has to be in place for this.
Yes.
It takes a lot more than a platoon-sized thing to do this.
Right.
Okay? I mean, we're talking, it's going to take thousands of citizen soldiers out of Arizona. One of the things that I think is the benefit of the state being involved in this and creating the Arizona State Guard, even though it's going to be voluntary, you know, I think that what we're going to find is that it's going to help drum up more people to join.
Okay, another question. Is this under, what you're trying to do, is this under Harper's bill, or will it nullify Harper's bill down there?
We are very strong supporters of Jack Harper. I know him. Jack Harper's a very good man. Sylvia Allen, I mean, there's a lot of people of Russell Pierce, Sylvia, I mean, there's Melvin, there's a million of these folks, Jack Harper, they've all signed on as co-sponsors on both bills. They just recently had a reconciliation on the wording. So the wording now from in the, let's make sure I get this right, the HB, which is the House bill of 2070, has the same wording as SB 1495 from the state Senate. They both have the same wording in place now at this point. So it's not Harper's bill, it's everybody's bill.
All right, so to clarify for you, Smiter, to clarify for you, basically, Smiter missed a question. I missed this one. Who is getting protected by the service, by your services? Who would you be protecting?
Well, we aren't going to be protecting anyone. I got to make this really clear, because I want to make sure that everybody that's listening understands. We are not a guard company currently. Okay, we have an LLC, which is just the framework. Okay, but we have not applied for our agency license. We haven't done anything yet to do that. We're not going to do that until we actually have all of the certifications individually in place. Okay, so in terms of protecting people, we're not doing that from a guard perspective. At this point, you could only refer to us as citizen soldiers in the militia sense of things at this point. I want to make that perfectly clear so that we don't have any misunderstandings. We are not a guard company at this point. Hopefully we'll get there.
Okay, so your overall goal then, you're starting off now, you're citizen militias.
Yeah.
Your overall goal is to create a Pinkerton-type situation back in the 1800s, protecting stagecoaches, you know, ranches, whatever it is.
Well, in a
modern theater, right.
Well, hey, you know what, and you know what? The Pinkertons were pretty classy individuals, if you actually think back about it, if you actually know your history.
They were providing a service. They provided, you know, they were providing a service that was needed at the time.
They were tough guys, but they weren't out of control vigilantes by any stretch of the imagination, were they?
Oh, no, in fact, if you look today, I mean, Pinkerton has the number one SWAT team in the entire country. Well, last time I checked, which was, I don't know, the last time I trained, last time I went out with some of my New Mexico State SWAT team buddies, there's SWAT competitions called the Border Wars, and SWAT teams compete. And Pinkerton always is, you know, I guess, you know, pretty much every year, they come out on top.
Nice.
You know, Pinkerton and, what's the other one, I forgot who it is, but they all have the big DOD contracts. You know, they have their SWAT. They have they're fully militarized SWAT teams that do, you know, high security facilitations like in New Mexico, like White Sands, Los Alamos, things like that. So Pinkerton, yeah, I mean, no, they had extremely high standards. They didn't just bring on the average schmuck, throw them in a uniform, say here's a gun and go. So, what are your standards going to be like? Are you engaging in standards now?
Yes, I think a way to put this is, yes, we are certainly not special forces grade, as those guys are. They are. I mean, let's be real. That's who they bring in. We may or may not get to that point. We may have different divisions in it. Who knows where it grows too? But we do have standards at this point. We have in place a step-by-step training program that we're about ready to get printed out and start using as a ongoing thing that we take people through certain amounts of, you know, certain information. So we've standardized the various things that we are teaching from the front end and making sure that everybody gets the same amount of, you know, same training, I think is the way to put it. You know, so we integrate people into the team organizational structure. We talk about what the various, you know, when we bring somebody in, we talk about what the units are consisting of, et cetera. We go through, well, you know, we do use hand signals. Currently we don't have a lot of communications gear. We will be adding to that as funds provide. But we work very strongly on firearm safety with folks, you know, weapon usage, chambering, make sure that, you know, muzzle etiquette is followed, you know, so on and so on. But we do that, and we work as a team. I mean, we our main goal is not to run out there with the biggest and the best weapons and all this and that. I mean, that'd be great. I mean, you know, but we believe more strongly in the team aspect of working together. That I think as a team we are much stronger than a bunch of individuals that you know, have big guns. You know what I mean?
Okay. Another question for you. Actually, this is going to lead to a couple of other questions. One from Gary, in fact.
Okay.
So initially, right now, you are an LLC. You're not in the security business at all right now, or the guard business at all right now. You are training. You're planning on doing ops out on the borders eventually, as soon as you feel that you can come out there with full force and be effective.
Sure.
Okay. Now at that point, as an LLC on the border, are you guys going to be able? I mean, as an LLC, you're under a lot of restrictions. And at that point, if you go on the federal lands,
everybody is a member of the LLC. And, you know, just that if I owned a plastics manufacturing company that was an LLC, I could certainly go ahead and, decide I wanted to be a citizen soldier on my weekends.
Right.
Okay. The operations at the border will have no bearing on our LLC until such time as they do.
Okay, so when you go out there then, you're not going to be going down there as the Arizona State Guard LLC, operating as the Arizona State Guard LLC then. It'll just be a group of guys going down there who have all trained together with the Arizona State Guard LLC. So you're not going to, so you won't be jeopardizing the business framework there.
Correct.
Okay, I understand where you're coming. Okay, I understand that now. See, because if you went down there as an actual business, you could face a lot of liability there. I mean, your LLC could be yanked that day, especially if you're operating on federal land.
Do so, but yeah, we are just a bunch of guys out there that calls themselves the Arizona Guard.
Okay.
That's what we call ourselves.
Okay, I think I'm understanding now. So while operating on federal lands, then you're not going to be Arizona State Guard LLC.
At this point, no.
Okay, I understand that now. Federal contracts, are you guys looking at getting those? I mean, is that what you're going after here, or are you looking more at the local individual, the local person that needs help?
I think the local person that needs help would be our first and foremost target market, you might say, from a selling perspective. But, you know, I mean, sometimes the larger contracts are what pays the bill to allow you to do the stuff that you really want to be involved in. You know, I don't want to have to try to, you know, charge people too much money to do things. I'd rather be able to say, listen, you know, it's no big deal.
All right, give me one second.
I mean, that's really the goal here is, you know, the safety of the citizens of Arizona and their property is first and foremost most important to us.
Okay, so if those government contracts come around, of course, you'll take them and look at them. Is that your goal, though, to actively pursue them, or are you going to focus upon the small citizen there that needs help?
We're focused primarily on the small citizen.
I think
that's where we're at. I mean, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, like I said, you know, if it takes a couple of larger contracts in order to fund what we really want to be doing, then that's what we may have to do. So you do what you do.
Okay.
You know, we don't have the entire business plan step by, well, kind of we have a pretty good idea where we're headed with it, but I mean, you know, we don't know when that many of these things will take place. They'll take place in the appropriate timing.
Okay.
I hope that helps your listener.
Yes, hopefully it does. Maybe it does. We'll find out. He tends to, he'll get back with us if that doesn't clarify that one. There's a lot of people in the chat room right now that are talking about this. I'm telling you, I can't keep up with the questions, actually. Seriously, if I've missed your guys' questions, sorry about it, but you guys see how much is going through. And during the time that the guest is asking or answering these questions, I can't keep going back and forth. So, you can call in. There's a toll-free line. You can come in on Skype. Toll-free line is 877-374-3980. If I've missed your questions or I just haven't gotten to your question, feel free to call in and ask your own question. We're all big boys here and big girls here. So, there seems to be a lot of concern, though, about, you know, an organization like yours becoming the next Blackwater, the next XE. In fact, there's a former Blackwater member in the chat room.
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to laugh at anyone, but I mean, you know, look, we're just a bunch of guys. We are not. I can truthfully say we have not one special forces guy on our. Well, I shouldn't say it. We got one actually. God, you know, but I mean, you know, he's. It's not like you know. Look, we're not Blackwater. We're not going to be involved in defense intelligence kind of stuff. I mean, it ain't happening. I mean, you know, I can tell you that. Look, if the how do I put this? If the almighty dollar was the end all, we probably wouldn't be having this conversation. It would be setting up a security company and going down and doing what we're doing. Okay, you know, we wouldn't be out here doing, you know, spending our own ammunition, buying our own weapons, you know, buying our own boots when the ones we have, when we have fall apart. I mean, you know, we wouldn't be doing those things. You know, it's not about the almighty dollar, guys. It's not. It's about the citizens of this state have a problem, and this problem is coming from the south going north. And, you know, they need some help. And by the way, the groups here in Arizona all need help. Look, we're just schmucks, you know, that work a job, you know what I'm saying? We're 9 to 5, 7 to 4, whatever, you know, that's what we do. We work during the week. Some of us work on the weekends, and you know, we take some time off to go run around the desert for 10 hours one day a week. I mean, you know, it's there isn't one single person in out of our 21 in our group that's wealthy by any stretch of the imagination. We're probably not even middle class, most of us. So, you know, it is all I can say is there's no chance whatsoever that we'll ever be a Blackwater. Sorry, I'm gonna try to make light of what somebody said, but you know, look. You know, and I'll tell everybody right now, you know, we could use help. Somebody wants to donate stuff, we could take it. Trust me, we certainly could use the help. Gary knows me. He knows who we are. And we're straight up folks. I mean, you know, we're trying to do the best thing that we can in the only way that we know how. We're not politicians. If we were, we'd be out there messing with the Tea Party folks. But we're not. We're not politicians. You know, I listened to the smarmy crap going on in some of those appropriation committees from the other side, and I could have cheerfully wrung their necks because it was so, I mean, you can tell, I'm not a politician, you know what I'm saying? I'm a near average Joe. Okay, anyway.
All right, another question here. I think it is a good start to be doing something on the border. I'm curious about what happens when you start going, when you are, oh, no. Sorry, the screen keeps moving on me. I'm curious about what happens when you're going to start to operate outside of the LLC. How will you get state support to do border operations as opposed to protection services?
Ah, okay. Well, that's an easy thing because the state is already forming an organization just like the National Guard, the Arizona National Guard, but it's going to be called the Arizona State Guard. It won't be federalized. It's going to be run by the state. Any of us will be going in and joining as individuals, not as, they're not going to hire the LLC, they're going to hire us as individuals to go out. You see what I'm saying? We'll be going in from that perspective, so it won't really have anything to do, neither the twain shall meet, so to speak. The advantage that the state will have in bringing us in as a group, we hope, and we don't know if it will happen that way. We would just like to see it that way. But the advantage they would have is you would have a platoon-sized organization, or greater, we hope. But by July, it very well could be greater than that. But, you know, they would, the advantage is that they have an organization and a team that's already used to working together. They don't have to start from day one and you know, okay, you guys go do this. You know, we're already doing it.
Now, let me ask you a question. Somebody brought up a really good question in the chat room just a moment ago, and if you don't mind. Okay, so you have this LLC. You're out there, one of your employees, let's say, is out there on the border, even though you're operating outside of the LLC on the border, you're just a group of guys down there. What kind of liability are you anticipating, or if any, when one of your people gets killed? Heaven forbid. But what happens
if
somebody gets killed?
Number one, anybody that goes, before we do any ops, everybody will assign a release form as an individual.
Okay.
That takes away the liability. You know, if an employee wants to go down and do it on his own, he's going to sign a release anyway. A release to the company from any liability. We won't have any liability. We're not making them go. Oh, my God. You know, if somebody wants to go, they can. If they don't, they don't. you know, that's really the case.
Okay. Okay, I think I see a little bit better where I think I come from a business background, like I told you before. So, I mean, you know, I've helped restructure even mid-sized corporations, you know, restructure their internal operations, their structure, their marketing plans, their goals. I get all that. I understand.
Well, there's another aspect, too, okay? You know, if you don't have a company, how are you going to have any sort? You have no corporate LLC, 501c3, whatever. To have a 501c3, to even have an organized club, you have to, if you're, when you're talking money, you have to have an LLC or a corporation in place anyway. It just would be nonprofit in various different things. I mean, if you have a hunting club, okay, that's legitimately organized, you have an LLC or an Inc., okay? And that's how you have a checking account in the name of the company, because you can't do that in the name of an organization without that. Even if you have a sole, otherwise you have a partnership or you have a sole proprietorship. Now, you can have those things and have a checking account open in the doing business as, like a DBA in the name of whatever you want to call yourselves as a group, but there, you know, you're still, it doesn't provide the same protection to the individual members or the same protection for a person who puts money in, you know, to that, into that checking account to make sure that the money can't be messed with. So it really doesn't give you the same protection.
All right.
Another reason we're doing the company side is for that reason.
Okay, we have a caller on the line real quick. Okay. Dave, go ahead and bring the caller on.
Hey, 425, you're on the air.
Hey, guys, this is Smiter.
Smiter, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing good. I think everybody is doing pretty good, too. Let me turn this monster down here. I just, you know, we kicked this around up here in Washington State and ran into some pitfalls, but I'm kind of curious to see what are the drawbacks with your effort there in Arizona as far as the financing and the legality is concerned, obviously, because one kind of tracks with the same. And just without sharing my story, I'd like to hear what you know are the preemptive drawbacks, the gotchas, your endeavor. And it might be a
speed up. Well, there's a myriad of
gotchas. Well. We got a bunch of people with the Bar Association title behind their name, which is
going
after guys like you. So I get that. It's sad that we actually have to do this in order to, you know, it's sad that we actually have to consider ways to work around the law or to work within the gray areas of the law in order to form militias anymore.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous, isn't it?
I mean, that's basically what we're doing here.
Let me jump in here for a second. We're having poor bandwidth conditions this evening. We're going to have to shut the call-in lines down for a little while. It's causing the stream to drop. You know, and the bad audio quality. If we can bring Smiter back in via Skype, that would work a lot better. And for right now, I think we're going to have to shut the call-in lines down because it just causes some significant problems on the stream.
Oh,
all right, sorry about that. Yeah, Dave has to basically run the entire operation from his end. And unfortunately, you know, he's got one of those monopolized internet companies out there whose service is really crappy, so sometimes the stream is weak. So when we got all these things pulling on the resources, you know, the stream, the broadcast, all this other stuff, it tends to, you get knocked off sometimes. So it hasn't been happening lately.
Although I can say this in kind of an answer to what you were saying, Mark, in Arizona, regardless of where you are at, whether you're on private land or public land or state land or even federal land, if somebody shoots at you, you have the right to shoot back in self-defense. That is a right. Are you there?
We're here.
Okay. You have that right. Now, you know, I think the real issue in terms of liability is not so much from a bunch of bad guys start taking shots at you, you fire back. That's a self-defense issue that's readily I mean, regardless if somebody wants to make a federal case type thing out of it, they're not. It's not. It's going to get shot down. You know, it is. They'll probably make life miserable for a while, which is really their intent. They know they're not going to win. They just want to make it.
Thank you. Sorry about that. I brought Smiter in through Skype so he could.
Yeah, I think I know why I
was gating now.
Smiter.
Yeah, man.
Radio or something in the background. Could you cut that down for a second? We've got you live now. We brought you in through Skype so we could you can finish up your questions what you were trying to say. Or if you're done with, your questions, we can.
Oh, I love technical problems.
Smiter is not hearing us.
No, I'm hearing you.
I was just saying, you know, the other day, you know, how good of a run we've had without any technical glitches. I'm going to keep my mouth shut next time, I tell you.
We'll talk about that later. I have an idea.
All right. But anyways, so let me ask you a question here also. Somebody mentioned earlier, I know that, like, in Washington and New Mexico, the state guards there have requirements. You have standards that you have to meet.
The Arizona State Guard will. We will eventually establish those as well. I mean, we're requiring people to be reasonably physically fit, I mean, to do what we're doing. But, I mean, part of what we're doing in the beginning side of things is getting people, getting enough PT in there to get them so they can, you know, get out and do stuff.
You know, are you guys going to use that also, though, to make sure that your people are qualified to be part of that state guard? I mean, is that another reason you guys are doing this, to make sure that your people are qualified according to those state standards so that
Absolutely.
They will be able to join that state guard then?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You gotta be able to do stuff. They don't have requirements established yet, but I guarantee you it'll be very similar to what they have for the National Guard. As the Adjutant General for the National Guard is going to be running the state guard, so, I mean, you know, it's going to be pretty similar, I'm sure.
So, are they pursuing a charter?
Pardon?
Oh, shit, I'm here. Sorry about that.
You're live on with us.
Okay.
I don't know
in other states the way this works.
No, I mean, I don't know how the state is going to put that together. I'm not a politician. I don't know. I really don't know how the other states have done that in the same vein. What their requirements are, it's really kind of interesting because there's been a group of people in Arizona that a lot of the leaders of various groups out here that have said, well, you know, if they don't do it this way and the way we want it, then we're not going to be part of it. And I just want to say to have always thought, you know, well, then you're not going to tell the cow how you're going to eat the cabbage because, you know, the state is the one going to put this together. They're going to decide who, what, where, when, and why. And then it's going to be up to the individuals to decide whether they want to be a part of it or not. It's really going to be like that. You know, I mean, it's like anything. You know, we can affect some things, but we're not going to be able to go in there and tell the state, well, if you do this, then nobody will join. Well, then they're going to say that nobody will join because this is what we want to do. You know, it's just really, you know, we're going to try to meet whatever standards the state wants to do because we want to do this bad enough. We want to be a part of this program bad enough that we're willing to do what we got to do to be a part of it. So we're working our butts off to get there.
Okay.
What I wanted to share with you was that we've looked at this in Washington State, where we have a Washington State Guard. They have basically the same enlistment standards that you would need to get into the reserves. I wouldn't say active duty because they're a little more loose, but what that does is it kind of puts everybody in that mode that's in the State Guard under the thumb of the state government. If that's okay with you, then, you know, you're on the right track as far as I can see. That's where I pulled back from this project.
Well, sure. And in all honesty, I mean, you know, this is a voluntary thing. So, you know, I'm never, if somebody says, go and knock down somebody's door and take their guns, that ain't happening. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
I do know what you're saying.
I don't care what they say. You know, this is a voluntary organization. I'm going to be a part of this organization for as long as I deem that they are operating in a constitutional manner. And if they don't do that, I'm not. So, you know, that's really, this isn't, there's, I mean, you know, I don't think they're going to take it to that degree because citizen soldier. They get the concept of state sovereignty. They get the concept of, you know, that this is a voluntary organization because they're not paying us, you know. You know, it's different when they pay you. You know, if you're getting money every month, you know, whatever that they pay to the National Guard guys, well, then, you know, that's your job, and you can choose to quit your job or not. But you can't keep taking their money if you don't do what they say. I mean, that's kind of the way the game's played. This is voluntary. They're not paying us. I don't want their money. As a matter of fact, in that appropriations committee, I looked at them, and I said, when I had a chance to speak, I said, we don't want your money. That's not why we're here. We want the bill passed. And we'd like to be able to utilize some of the resources that are sitting around, not being used, but I mean, you know, we're going down there without you, with or without you. So.
That's a fine line to dance, brother. I mean, because you're looking at resources available versus being relegated to the thumb of the governor.
Well, now Harper's original bill, for those that are from Arizona and know who Jack Harper is, he actually had in place a committee that would be comprised of a couple of people from the House, a couple of people from the Senate, and then five people that were military veterans that would be, you know, usually, but I'm sure they would be funded, the officers, retired officers, to act as a kind of a council. Now, in the bill that is going through now, they in order to get this thing done, Harper had to kind of back away from that kind of thing and said, well, we can either wait and try to get it through the next legislative session, or we can get something in now and then make some changes to it down the road, which is what he chose to do. And I think that's what they're all trying to do, is get something going now and then come back and make some adjustments and changes to it. I don't think that we're going to have any kind of an organization here in Arizona that will be under the thumb of the governor and in any sense of the word. Now, I mean, all governors have the option, even with the National Guard, they have the option to call out the National Guard whenever they so deem. Now, they, to all practical intents and purposes, I mean, statute-wise, but to all intents and purposes, they have kind of ceded that to the federal government at this point. But I don't, the biggest thing that I would worry about is the governor never calls it out. Now, I think Brewer will, you know. But, you know, if we have another Napolitano,
that'll
never happen.
Well, you know, listen, I got a question here, and it deals with Brewer thing, and it is one of those touchy subjects, and it seems, you know, I've tried to broach this subject with a few people from Arizona and other patriots. I want to use those finger quotes things.
Okay.
And, you know, it seems to make them not like me anymore. What I'd like to talk about, though, is this Janet Brewer and the State Guard thing, and a concern that I have, and it seems to not be a concern for really anybody else out there, it appears. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I see too much. Maybe I've read too many books. Janet Brewer, when she came on the scene, she became that very, you know, she became the poster child for the patriots out there, if you will. You know, state sovereignty and such. And yet the whole time that she was doing that, she had already accepted a position on the Council of Governors.
Yep.
This is a concern I have now.
I'm aware of that.
She overrides
me too.
All the other governors in her zone.
Well, you know, I don't know if she actually has the option to refuse that. I don't even know if she really realizes what the dangers of that whole mess are.
I mean, because her main thing that she speaks on is state sovereignty and states' rights, and yet here she is as the Council of Governor, infringing upon every other state in her region, on their state rights.
You know, I don't want to profess to be able to say what's going through her mind. You know, one thing we all need to understand about every single person that, for the most part, in the state legislature here in Arizona and in the state senate, is that each one of them was a politician way before it became popular to be a patriot.
Yes, it was. Yes, they were.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, they were.
Okay, so now, and I have nothing bad to say about Jan Brewer. I mean, I've met her before. She seems like a pretty good person. I don't, you know, there are a large number of people that those of us who kind of pay attention to what's going on consider to be in the category of not awake yet. Okay? I don't know where she sits in that category.
Okay.
It's only my personal opinion.
Well, no, and that's, you know, that's what the show's about. You know, we talk about these things here, you know, and the listeners I have are far and beyond your typical internet radio show listeners, your militia, your Patriot show listeners. In fact, this show never discusses those events and the people that, you know, that are going on today. We only discuss the solution of what could be for tomorrow. Most of the people here are, you know, militia commanders or militia or the great thinkers out there of the Patriot community. So I feel we can have these discussions on this show, which is why I don't bring some of those other people onto this show that I've been worried about asking this question too. You know, but one of the concerns I have, you know, is that whole thing, you know, Jan Brewer starting the State Guard up there. Could this be, and the National Guard is already federalized, could this State Guard, that, you know, and this is one of the concerns, and at first I was thinking about it because I thought I had made the misconception that the LLC of the, you know, the Arizona State Guard was going to be that State Guard. They were going to be an LLC, and then I started getting a lot of concerns then about a new Blackwater, myself even.
Right.
So, but now I misunderstood what you were talking about then, and I got a much clearer picture now, so. You know, that's what was one of the concerns, though, is, you know, the State Guard. Why is the State Guard being, you know, why are they looking at the State Guard now?
Because we need it.
Well, no, I understand that.
Well, no, honestly, I mean, that really, this is not, first off, got to remember now, Mark, this is not Jan Brewer's deal. Matter of fact, when this was originally conceived, Jan Brewer was not governor.
Okay, so we're good then. Much clearer on the picture here then.
Right. Jan Brewer happens to be the governor now. The real issue is what would the next governor do, and the one after that, and the one after that. So the proviso that in this whole thing that makes the deal work is that it is, number one, a volunteer force made up of citizens.
Okay.
Okay. We do not have to muster out. If, you know, if they say, like I said, I guarantee, I won't speak for anybody else that'll ever be in the Arizona State Guard, but I can pretty much tell you about the 21 guys that I train with every week. They tell us to go, somebody walks up and says, okay, I'm ordering you guys to go confiscate guns. That may very well may be the last order that person gives, ever.
Okay. And that kind of led to a question that we had. You know, what's to keep that from being federalized like the National Guard? Which is what I was looking at as well.
Right, we won't do it. Well,
so it all comes down to, again, to the State Guard is still voluntary, and you don't have to muster if you choose not to. If they tell you to go confiscate guns, they don't have to muster.
Do you think that every single National Guard person is going to follow an order like that?
I don't think every single one will. I think there are the.
Whatever gonna.
I think that, you know, the National Guard, the military, just like everybody else, you have those that won't, you have those that will. And you have those that are going to sit on the sideline.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you know, so it's going to be, it would be like that now. I hope that it never comes to anything like that. I hope that enough people in this country wake up to realize that we're, you know, the concept is just not work. To do it any other way is not workable. We can't allow this kind of stuff to happen. So, and I think more and more people every day are waking up more and more.
How do you maintain autonomy or your autonomous nature? And is there an advantage between an LLC versus a not-for-profit organization?
There is a huge difference, a huge benefit.
Yeah. If you go non-profit, now you have the IRS involved in determining whether or not your eligibility to remain a non-profit can stay. So if your funding is entirely dependent upon you being a nonprofit, then they can start pushing you around. And the real great example is that is look at the modern church. You know, we've got an awful lot of pastors that won't stand up and say the truth, speak biblical truth, simply because they're very worried that they'll lose their LLC. And we have the IRS taking some pot shots at a few churches that actually dare to do that. So in most cases, they've been repelled. Their attacks have been repelled, but they're not going to give up or go away.
This sounds like small potatoes to the IRS. you just got a group of guys who need to scrape up enough money to keep the boots on their feet and, you know, some CLP in their rifles.
Yeah.
I'm just suggesting that, like I said, I've looked at this, we've looked at it as a group and gone all the way to the point of turning back because it seemed like it would be entering into that gravity where we didn't want to go. And regardless of being called up or whatever, there seems to be a stopgap with different states that have a state guard, if you know what I'm talking about. Because you have a National Guard, you have a state guard, and then you have the militia, which is where everybody's kind of in the ether wondering where they would fall into it, which they really don't. That's kind of the hard acceptance for people. And I'm just going to mute out here for a sec.
I would pretty much kind of agree with you on that. Even though we have the term militia has a constitutional basis, it's really at this point both by statute, but mostly by case law, I would say more than anything, has been, and public opinion has been, PR, the media, it's the militia has been really relegated to a almost non-existent status, when in fact it was really the basis for everything. At one point, we in Arizona, there's in part of our state constitution says that the governor can call out the militia, and the militia will consist of 18 to 45 and blah blah blah, and they can call it anytime they want, but they're not going to call it out, as far as anything is concerned, because you can't put untrained people that can't walk a block down the street, put them out in the desert, and tell them to go do something. It could happen. You don't want to put a gun in somebody's hands that's completely untrained. Really silly.
Not only that, one of the other problems with creating a nonprofit organization is that you're a full-fledged corporation at this time. You're not an LLC, which is a limited liability company. As a corporation, the state actually controls your board. The state owns the corporation. They can literally come in and replace your board at any time they want. So, for instance, if the Arizona State Guard LLC went to a nonprofit aspect, the state actually could come in, replace the board, put their own people in there, and then turn it into something much different than what it is.
Good luck.
They would actually own the corporation at that point. You know, the state actually controls all corporations, and that's what people don't. That's what a lot of people don't understand. The state can come in and literally replace the board of a non-profit or a for-profit corporation. You know, an S-corp, a C-corp.
The thing is, they can do a lot of things, but one, they have to prove, and there has to be a reason. They can't just do it on a whim. One. And two, like in our case, can you imagine what happened? I mean, okay, see y'all, have a nice day.
Oh, yeah, everybody would walk. Everybody would walk.
Okay, you got a piece of paper, now we can do it.
Yeah, that might be the point. That might be the whole purpose, though.
Well, then we just do it again.
Exactly.
We don't need a corporation. That mattered.
Exactly.
The beauty of the citizen soldier as a concept is we don't need it. We're ourselves. Now, they want to wholesale put us in jail, that's one thing, but good luck on that, too.
You're right there. So to answer your question, Spider, that was, you know, that's a major problem with running a nonprofit is that your board can be replaced. And let's be honest. I mean, if they, you know, they can, the government can find a reason to replace anybody. They don't need a reason. They can find a reason to arrest anybody. They can, you know, like Harvard put out a study. The average person will commit 3 jailable offenses on any given day without even knowing it.
Oh, I always know it.
Nice.
1.5 million federal laws, you know, I mean, you know, how do you know when you're breaking one of them? And that's the problem we have.
That's really a sad thing that we're in that kind of situation, truly.
Well, that's where we make money off our justice system, is ignorance.
Oh, exactly. So, you know, and it's sad, you know, that we actually, And like you had mentioned, Smiley, you had even thought along the lines of something like this as well. And unfortunately, you know, it's sad that we actually have to even engage in this kind of out-of-the-box thinking to be able to operate as militia without having to worry about all the liability and, you know, somebody suing us for doing what the Constitution guarantees. So I can understand why you guys, Tim, are, you know, looking at this route. I fully understand it. You're trying to play within the gray areas of the law and protect yourselves individually as well. So I get that. I get what's going on here. So, you know, kudos to you guys for some serious out-of-the-box thinking there. And, you know, if funding is an issue like it is for everybody, you know, hey, if you guys can use that funding for a good cause, then I don't see why not.
Yep. Well, that's you know, it's like everybody. There isn't one group out here that isn't in that boat. But, you know, but every group across the country is that way. Heck, you know, frankly, the federal, our military would be in the same boat if they weren't just stealing people's tax money.
Well, right? Of course they would. They would need to get funding somewhere. You know, the government would have to fund it somewhere.
Well,
you know, we could get back.
I mean, how many people would be voting? Okay, here's my 10 grand this year. I want you to go, you know, beat somebody up in Afghanistan. I don't think so.
They had a bake sale.
Even looking at it now, I mean, you know, our military was out there in the Middle East, and they didn't have body armor. They didn't have, you know, armored vehicles. They didn't have anything.
I know.
And
actually had Humvees over there that didn't have armor. I'm like,
yeah.
What were you people? But, you know, the other thing is, I don't understand why it's, me personally, I'm just a local guy, you know, I don't know much about anything, but this is just one thing that always bugs me. How come the National Guard is over there and not the Army?
I thought the National Guard wasn't supposed to leave our soil.
Well, that's the point.
They were
Why
not
is it
ever
we
supposed
have
to
NORTHCOM
leave
over here on our shores with a mission to quell civil unrest, and the guys that are supposed to be doing it are all overseas? Which is kind of bass backwards as far as I'm concerned. So I don't really understand that. You know, I'm just a local guy that doesn't know nothing. But, you know, it's one of those questions that things that make you go, hmm, you know?
They're getting trained for the big show.
Yeah. Well, there's a big show coming.
Well, you know what,
Tim? I hope we avoid it. I really do. I keep saying that. I'm going to keep sticking to that. I hope we avoid it.
Well, you know, you're talking about the big show, and, you know, there's something interesting. The RCMP up here, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, I found out something interesting. They have a program where they take many of these RCMP members, put them in the Canadian Armed Forces, you know, combat troops out in Afghanistan and places, and they train them there to engage in this. And I'm wondering, what does a cop have? Why would a cop need to know this? Why would any cop need to know this?
Well, I think from one perspective, with health survivability out there with bad guys, but I mean, you know, depends on what they're actually learning. If they're learning how to kick doors in and hold guns on women and children, that's a different issue.
That's what they're learning to do.
No, that's not a good thing.
No,
but, I mean, you know, I'll be honest, I mean, just in our 6 weeks worth of training, I'd take our 21 guys against 21 guys in any one of the state police, sheriff's offices, or any city police force around here. I think we'd wipe the desert with them. I don't mean in a physical confrontation. I'm talking about movement, training, the whole nine yards. I think we're pretty doggone good in for a short period of time. They're not trained to do what we do.
No, they're not. They're not. They're really not. I've worked with a lot. I've trained with a lot of state police in New Mexico, and well, more specifically with the SWAT team. Those guys, they're trying to do a lot more.
SWAT teams. Yes, I mentioned SWAT teams.
I've noticed. You know, I've trained with a bunch of them too. You know, we'd go out and hook up on the weekends and go do things. And I'll be honest with you, I was not impressed with very many of them. In fact, some of the ones that had ex-military experience.
They are better than your typical police, you know, group of police for police. You know.
Yeah.
So, well, you know. Anyway, we're doing what we do, and you know, I don't. They should do what they do, and what they do is fine currently, and it just needs to not do any more. You know.
So, what are your guys's? What kind of things are you doing as far as training goes? You know, I noticed you mentioned that you didn't have any special forces guys in there, or then you changed it. You said you had one in there. So, what kind of training are you guys involved in?
Okay, well, we spend time with marksmanship every week. We are always doing group movements. We do tracking. tracking drills. My goodness, I mean, we're always doing cover to cover, bounding. You know, I mean, it's team movements a lot. Okay. What else? We've been through room and house clearing. We need to do some more work on that, but we have been down that road a bit. We've done vehicle egress and ingress. Mm-hmm. We haven't done vehicle stopping yet, although that is coming up here in the next couple of weeks. You know, the actual checkpoint kind of a concept. We've just been practicing we practice our movements we do it with live fire, we do it non-live fire. We don't put a lot of new people in the live fire situations, obviously. We always work with people on the wing in overwatch capacity. So, I mean, you know, those are the things that we're doing. You know, we work on camouflage, the endeavor never to be seen, so to speak. There you go. That's, I mean, just in
what about the physical standards? You had mentioned that you were going to, you were basically, your standards would be similar or the same as what the State Guard would require. What about now? What about physical? What kind of standards are you? What kind of standards are you guys do you have imposed right now?
Well, we're right now, because everybody works. I mean, there's limitations on what you can do, but we train for about 10 hours every week. I mean, you know, a single day thing. We put 10 to 12 hours in every time we go out. We bust butt. We work hard. We do four, we march, we carry our stuff. We're carrying, you know, serious weight on us when we go.
Tim, my one phone is dying, so I gotta switch over to another phone, and so I can get to that, so this one doesn't die on you. Give me one second.
I know what I'm getting you for Christmas, Randy. I'm going to get you a decent speakerphone that doesn't have to run on batteries.
Well, you know what? I wasn't planning on doing much on the phones anymore. Now that we integrated Skype and everything,
I've got some ideas on how we can work around, you know, some of this stuff. It's just going to take a little time to get it implemented. Typically speaking, we can handle a full complement of Skype and two active lines at the same time, but for some reason, the band conditions on the broadband are just not quite up to snuff tonight, and I apologize to everybody for that. There's going to be a little delay on getting the archive out, because I'll have to piece it back together, but we hadn't lost much, so you know, we're back on track.
Okay, so we are good again now. We got you back on.
Other things that we work on, we work on hand-to-hand combat. One of our guys is a trained instructor in Krav Maga. Actually, we have a couple of different martial arts, folks, but that's the one we really do spend most of our time on. We work on, we work on our crossings of washes, crossing of roads. I mean, your basic military training.
Okay, so you're looking at, and I'm assuming that there is physical training that's good, that you're going to have physical standards as well. You know, you have to be able to run, you know, do things. You can't, like you mentioned, you can't just take some couch potato, stick him in stick him in some camo, stick an AR in his hand and say, go hump 10 miles with a 60-pound pack and engage the enemy.
Yeah. Well, you can if you wanted to be a bullet catcher. He even makes it to the field of battle. But I mean, you know, and unfortunately, I think all too many of the various groups that are out there are taking that tact. I mean, we had a guy that just joined our group six trainings ago, and he spent some time with a very well-known, no-names-mentioned group, one of the largest in the state, and he said to us that in the one day the first day he was with us, he said, I've done more work with different things with you guys than I did with 6 months with those guys. and it's true, because we really, I mean, you can get a lot done if you're focused and you, in 10 or 12 hours, you can get a lot done.
Oh, you can. Especially if you're focused and you guys maintain and you guys stay on track. You can do a whole bunch.
We're motivated.
You know, I like I said, I used to go out with some guys from New Mexico State SWAT team, and we would go out there and I would drill with them. You know, we would just go out for on the weekends and have fun. And that's amazing what you can learn in a very short period of time if you stay focused.
Yep.
You don't treat it like a game. I mean, if you're deadly serious about it, it's amazing. So,
well, we also spend, at this point, we're now getting to probably about a third of our day we spend in team versus team drills.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So one team's in the high ground. We're going to go get them. Other team's going to do it, and we reverse it. And other, you know, go meet each other, go find each other, that sort of stuff, you know. And we do things like that. So, you know, we're covering a lot of ground. Now, like I said, we still got a ways to go yet, but when we do hit the field and we deploy, we're going to be ready.
Well, that's good to know. I mean, well, you know, that is important. And that's the one thing that so many people, I hear these militias, everybody says that, you know, they're, you know, we can't find people, or we, when the people that we do find, we can't get them active and motivated to come out and train. And a lot of it is time, work, money, whatever, but a good chunk of it is just straight laziness.
Well, true. And don't get me wrong. We have had our fair share of folks that have fallen by the wayside. Some people, they can't get out of bed, especially when it's raining. You know, we train in the rain, you know, although fortunately here in Arizona, we don't have that often, which is kind of nice. You know, it is like that, and it's rigorous. I mean, you know, we've had a couple of folks that said, you know, I just can't hang, and we're okay with that. You know, said, look, we've got other things for you to do. We need to put together a forward operating base. We need to have all that stuff that goes with those, that whole operation. We need people to man that. My church is involved in the respect that my pastors love what I'm doing. I mean, they are very, very, as a matter of fact, you know, out of our team, 1, 2, 3, 4 of us are from the same church.
Okay. We got a question for the chat room. When are you guys expecting to be operational?
When we're ready.
I'm
not saying that tongue in cheek. I'm really saying that there are some of us that are ready now, but that doesn't mean that the whole group is. See, again, as I said, when I meant that, when I said that, from a planning and an operational perspective, we are not going to go do ops until we bring force. This isn't 4 guys, 5 guys going to go down. We intend to take a platoon size and go do something. You know what I mean?
No, I agree with you. Man.
That's where we're at. We have new people coming in. When they're ready to go, then they can go. They're not going to go down until they're ready. We have a series of, what is it, about, we have different levels we talk about in our training. I think it's 4 or 5 levels that they have to go through and master the various things that are involved in it before they can move to the next level.
Okay, good.
So, right. So once they've learned to do these 5 things, boom, 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 as a group. Now, each one that has mastered that gets to move forward. If you didn't get it down and your instructor is not happy with your progress, you're stands when you get it right. You know?
No, that's perfect. I like that idea.
And so that I think is one of the differences with us and an advantage. You know, when our people do get deployed, they'll be ready.
Well, you don't want guys walking around with their sidearms falling out of their holsters and stuff like that because they don't even, you know, they don't know their
equipment. Yeah, that happened, but, you know, I mean, again, you know, then we have to take people and we say, okay, look, this little thing isn't adequate. We need to do this, you need to do this, and da 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 da. And you work with somebody until they're ready. But,
yep. But
again, you don't take them down to the border if they're not ready. You know
exactly.
What I'm saying? I mean, they can train. I mean, not everybody is at the point where they can go out and spend $1,200 on a really nice AR-15. I mean, you know, they're not ready.
No.
You know, and all the stuff that goes with the clothing. By the way, one of our members found at Sportsman's Warehouse, I don't know how many people have that in their area, but he found this thing called Desert Camo that we were out on Sunday and we couldn't find him. He would step into a cactus or a bush and he was gone. I mean, he spent $73 on cap, shirt, glove, face mask, pants, and he was gone. Couldn't find it. It was the best thing I mean, we decided we're all going to, we're ditching our ACUs and going that way. Seriously. This stuff was just the bomb. I think he called it Desert. I think it was Desert. Some kind of Desert. Desert Tan, Desert something. Anyway, whatever it was, you couldn't find him.
Just out that quick, huh?
Just that quick, absolutely. He's pretty good at it anyway, you know, but he was gone. It was amazing.
I have a question for you. You mentioned earlier that your recruitment is actually going pretty well.
So far.
What are you guys doing out there to get your name out there? For, you know, I know I speak to so many militia groups out there. They can't find people. They're aggressive in their, you know, in their recruitment, but they can't find people. What are you guys doing?
Hello,
how are you getting your name out there?
We make it fun. We're serious about what we're doing, but we have a heck of a good time every time we go out. Seriously, it's fun time. I mean, you know, it's not going to be for everyone. You know what I mean? It's not. But because, you know, we tell them, look, this isn't for everybody. But, you know, if you want to learn stuff, if you want to learn how to protect your family, if you want to learn hand-to-hand combat techniques that are going to hold you in good stead, I can kick that guy out of my head. Okay, well, why don't you come over here and see our buddy over here that teaches the Krav Maga. You see how well you do with him. Okay, look. Why don't you come out and take a look? What we find is we can get them to the field, and they run with us for a day, usually. They're back. It just works. It's fun. We have a great time. The thing is, we all get along. We're all friends. Every one of us are good friends at this point.
Okay.
And just keep adding to our group of friends is what we're doing. But I can tell you, I trust my six to anybody, any one of the 20 guys that are with me in this.
You know, we
don't have any women right now. I mean, we're not opposed to it. We just don't have any females that have joined our group. But, you know, but they will be, they will have to do the same thing that we do. You know?
No, I agree. You're right, though. You know, I see so many, I hear a lot of people out there, and I ask them, you know, what are you trying to do? How are you talking to people? And there's a few of them out there, you know, who come, you know, the first words out of their mouth are FEMA death camps, Bohemia Garden, you know, Bohemian Grove, all this other stuff.
They may be real, and that all this stuff is really important, but that's not what we're about. We're about protecting our border here in Arizona. You know, I mean,
you have something that you can really work on, the border.
We don't have the same thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, some areas aren't. The people aren't as aware of the problems that we're having as well, like you in Arizona are. I mean, your border is pretty wide open.
We see the problem all the time, and we see. I mean, you know, we see the stuff like last summer. The stuff that was, you probably saw some of the shots that was going on at our state capitol. I mean. You know, there were some really nasty bad folks there being bussed in from different parts of the country. You know? Not good. And they see it though. See, every time the left decides they're going to be really stupid and get really out there and start pushing people around and knocking little old ladies and guys down, little old veterans down, you know, that just ticks off a whole bunch of people. They just add more and more. Every time they do stupid stuff, like stamping on the American flag and desecrating things and walking around and calling the people who are the Tea Party people and calling them tea baggers and all that. You know what I'm saying? Every time they do that, they just add to our ranks.
Oh, they do.
Not just our ranks, but everywhere.
Oh, they do. They work, you know, I'm not going to complain about it, though. I mean, hey.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not going to complain about it.
No, I don't want to see any of our senior citizens battered around. And believe me, we've talked to the Tea Party out here in Arizona, and there are some who are in favor of us, you know, providing some sense of security for them, and other ones are not in favor. You know, and they said, well, we'd rather get beat around. Well, okay, that's you, but what about this person? Well, you know, so you know, I think the left out here really knows that they're not going to cross that line. Because if they do, there's a lot of cowboys out here.
I grew up in the Southwest. Right? I grew up in the Southwest. I mean, I grew up in New Mexico. I know the cowboys.
Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to put up with seeing grandma get pushed around by some thug.
No, nobody likes that at all.
I mean, it'll happen one time, and then that's the end of that, you know? Because people in the men in Arizona will respond to that. I know that even if they're not part of our group, if they're not part of the Tea Party, they will respond to that. And I think that's why we haven't seen, like in other states, you've seen this happen, but it hasn't really happened out here. They have done demonstrative things, the left has, okay, but they have not attacked any of the Tea Party people as of yet. Far to my knowledge.
Yeah. Hey, if they do, I'll accept that too. Go ahead, you know, we'll just keep adding to the numbers.
Absolutely. Well, and, you know,
What about your guys' equipment and gear? I mean, you know, what you guys are talking about doing, and I mean, a truly good, you were talking about going out there as a truly effective operation.
Yep.
What about equipment and gear? I mean, how are you guys looking at getting funding for this? I mean, comms are so important out there. All I hear is nightmare stories about comms out there. What are you guys looking at for comms?
We're putting money together. We have various people that are putting money together for their own personal, you know, weaponry. And clothing. We've got people, you know, we have a dues system, that people put money into the kitty every month, which is why we have the LLC, so we can actually have a checking account, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. Have you guys,
you know, we are putting money together. It's slow, but sure. I mean, you know, because good comms cost money. So. We are again, as we add to our numbers, we can be the citizen soldier. We just need enough people to add to the kitty so that we can get all the things that we really need. You know, and you know, believe me, if anybody in other parts of the country want to donate, we're not proud people in that respect. We're certainly willing to take any help we can get.
Real quick, contact information for you. If somebody's in Arizona, they want to get in touch with you, they want to join, they want to get involved, they want to help out, they want to be support, whatever it is, how do they get in touch with you guys?
I will give you my phone number.
Go ahead.
Okay, it is 602, area code, 290-4784. And I'm sure they can contact you guys at the site, and as well, I'm sure you can get that information out to them.
Yep. I've got all this contact information as well. Do you have an email address you want to give out?
I have my personal one. It'd be just as easy to, you know, get their information, and then I can contact them from you.
That works.
You know what I'm saying? We're getting ready to go get our domain name and such, and we haven't quite done that yet. So we're going to get that stuff done. That's coming up at our admin meeting this week.
Well, listen, Tim, do me a favor, would you? When you guys get things going, keep me in the loop, okay? I'm really interested in seeing how this you know, plays out. I feel I understand exactly what you're doing, and I understand why you're doing it, and I'm okay with it. I really am. I'm actually pretty good with it. In fact. I understand the reasons why, and I think it's actually a decent idea you've come up with here, and kudos to you for it. I think you're attacking several of the problems that we have and finding a solution that will work in your area, which is what we need all over the country.
Well, and maybe it will. I mean, you know, I don't know. You know, we don't profess now, and I really want to make sure everybody understands this. We're not walking around saying that we have the answer to every single thing going on within the movement and all the answers to all the issues that are involved, because we probably don't. I mean, we've spent a lot of time talking about it, you know, but I think that whatever we don't have at this point, we'll probably be able to come up with pretty easily. That's my opinion. So,
okay.
That's kind of where we're at.
All right, so if anybody wants to get in touch with them out there, again, let me toss the phone number out there one more time. What did I do with my phone number? I lost my phone number. I had it here. Here we go. It's 602-290-4784. And that'll get you in touch with Tim Guinea from the Arizona State Guard LLC. We're down to our last, what are we at, 12 minutes. Where do you want to take this in closing? What do you want to go? Where do you want to go in closing on this app?
You're talking to me?
Yep, talking to you.
I'd be happy to answer any other questions if you got any.
All right. Let me check. Let me see if we got any other last. Let me see if we got any last closing questions. Anybody out there? You have questions? You can call in. Actually, no, don't call in. Don't call in. Drop your questions in the chat room. Seems like we're having bandwidth issues problems tonight on Dave's end, so the toll-free line isn't working. The name of the
LLC, my bad.
Oh, no, no worries. The name of the LLC is Arizona State Guard LLC. That was one of the questions from the chat room. So if you have any questions, you can drop them in the Skype chat room, you can drop them in the chat room. You can let me know your Skype name. I'll bring you on Skype. You can ask them live. And we'll go from there.
Okay.
What Tim is doing. Hang on a second. Let me see. I think we got a couple questions. No, well, I guess that's it. So.
Okay.
As far as insurance goes, you know, insurance, that people keep bringing that up. If you guys looked into your insurance and, like, you know, your insurance liabilities, is it going to be a feasible thing without there being revenue coming in first?
In terms of insurance?
Yes.
Well, we're not going to, the insurance would be based on our guard activities when we begin to do that, not up until that point.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the signing off on a waiver of liability is what we use to make sure that none of the rest of us have any problems if something happens. You know, each person signs a waiver of liability.
Okay. So then you're not going to have to worry about that while you guys are on doing border things because, well, they're not going to be covered. It's a volunteer thing. Again, like you said.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, nobody says you ought to be there. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, no way. I mean, you know, but I think it's kind of interesting because we, you know, even the new folks are chomping at the bit to get out there. Like, we want to go down. Well, when you finish everything, you can, you know. But you know, there's a, it's kind of like a fine wine. You don't serve the wine before it's time, right?
Oh, I agree. I'm bringing out a call. I'm bringing Gary Hunt on. He wanted to come on and have a question for you. So as soon as we get him here,
yeah, sure.
You here, Gary?
Yeah, I'm here. Welcome. Jim, how are you?
Gary, I'm doing well. How about yourself, sir?
Just fine. Randy mentioned the show to me the other day, and didn't know much about it, and we're pretty skeptical, and I decided not to call you. We just find out here, and I got to say that I'm impressed. I think it's the best first step towards finding a solution that I've seen yet. I was very skeptical about the LLC, but now I understand why you're going that route. It makes perfect sense, and you start at least getting something back in the state of Arizona that has the potential of protecting the state from the state's point of view, not the federal point of view.
Thank you, Gary. I appreciate, you know, coming from a guy like you, that is incredibly, we appreciate it. I speak for us, for the group to say that. We really do appreciate it. Thank you much for that.
Go ahead.
I'm saying we're trying. You know, that's great.
Well, I'll get in touch with you pretty soon. I want to find out more about it, but you got me thinking tonight. Maybe I'll move back to Arizona.
Hey, there you go. We would love to have you.
No, I'll be honest. I was skeptical at first, too. You know, I even told you that. You know, how is that going to work? And like I said, I misunderstood. I thought the Arizona State Guard, the one that the state was forming, was going to be an LLC. So then I had a lot of concerns there as well, but those are cleared up now. I
don't
like
know
what you're
going to do. Now, let's be fair here, because, I mean, I don't know what the state will end up doing. I don't see them. I mean, I don't think the Arizona National Guard is an LLC or anything along those lines. So, however they're doing it, pretty much the way the bill is written is whatever laws and regulations and however they're setting the LLC or they're setting up the Arizona National Guard is exactly how the Arizona State Guard would be set up.
Right. So
there'll be a rank and command structure, I'm sure, very similar.
Right. Yeah, and I was confused. I thought you had mentioned that I thought you had said that the Arizona, because your names are so familiar, are similar. I mean, take out the LLC and it's the same name. So I thought I'd gotten those two misconstrued. So no, I'm fully supporting what you guys are doing. I think it's a wonderful idea myself.
Thank you, Randy. Appreciate it.
I really do. And, you know, this is coming from the business world and, you know, being in militia since 87. So you guys have hit it on a great idea here, and kudos to you for it. I mean, great thinking outside of the box.
Your best. You know, so, well, great. Is Gary still there?
Gary is still here.
Yep, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I'm here.
I wanted to ask you if it's okay if I ask you a question. Have you
okay?
Have you heard anything about rifle stock recently?
No, but did you ever get in touch with Joe?
I spoke to Joe in the past. We offered our services. He has the group that you had mentioned. They were going to run things, but we had said we'd be willing to come down and assist, and he kind of steered us away from that, so I'm not sure where we're sitting on that whole thing. I don't know. I haven't heard. I really hope that it comes off. I really, really do. It's something that's really, really needed. You know,
well,
for the listeners,
probably going to go down for it. I'll see what I can find out, not from Joe, but from Mike, and see if we can get that working.
Okay. For the listeners who were not familiar, there were a group of some guys who were wanting to put together a, how would you term that, Gary? A
security team for the rifle stock.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'll let you say.
A security team for rifle stock.
Right, but well, the rifle stock by itself, the idea was to be a gathering of patriots coming down to a location near the border in Arizona to have a weekend, pretty much of music and camaraderie and fellowship and, showing that a large group of people can get together and, stand for what we stand for and kind of make a splash. Is that pretty fair on that, Gary?
That is, and anybody that's interested in it, if you go to www.riflestock2011.com, riflestock2011.com, you can find out more about Rifle Stock, and yes, it is to bring attention and for you to go down and see what's happening on the border, see the trash and debris that's laid around behind these people as they traverse across Arizona, and maybe have an opportunity to get to see some of them crossing the border. But it's not intended to be a border operation. It will have a rifle range and a pistol range and some things. They've got some activities planned that'll be along the line of tactical, but they won't be doing an operation on the border as much as giving you an idea of what they do along the border. And so it's going to be rather interesting if you are interested in going.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. In fact, come to think of it, I need to get our guys to get all our money in so we can get that going. But I think it is something that really is necessary. I really do think so. Cool.
I'll get back with you on that when I get back with you and find out more about your operation.
Randy, you still there?
I'm still here. Well, listen, okay. What was that now? You were going to say something?
Oh, no, I was just asking.
Okay.
You were still there.
No, I was letting you and Gary finish up. I don't know if you guys had anything left to say to each other. Got a lot of people curious about you guys. So by all means, when you guys get a website up, you guys get more information out there. When you guys get active, let me know. I'm really, really curious. So I want to keep tabs on you guys. And again, I'm wishing you the best of luck out there.
Well, let's come down and do an op with us.
I'll be down there June-ish. I'll be down there in June-ish, July-ish.
Okay. Good.
I've already got a trip planned down there.
Nice. All
in fact, I have no choice.
We'll
I have
see
to
see you then.
Down.
I'm sure.
Yeah, no, I'm actually.
We should do a show live from the border.
Ready at least by then.
Well, no, I've actually been talking with one of the main trainers for the Tennessee Militia, Morg, and we've been working on my PT. I'm a power lifter by nature, so I'm big, I'm huge, I'm bulky. I don't have great endurance. My endurance is getting a lot better now with his help. So I'll be more than ready to go by June, July is.
Cool.
No, we might even do a show from the border after we're done.
You know, I should mention we actually had some journalists that were from Sweden. Did you hear about those guys coming across talking to the various different militia organizations?
Yes, I did.
They came out and they interviewed us and attended one of our training sessions in the rain of all things. And so, yeah, it was quite interesting. Nice people. They assured us that they would be not painting the militia as like crazy or anything like that. You always got to ask on that, you know. when it comes to media. But they've been talking, I guess, to a lot of the various groups across country. It was very, it was a really nice meeting those folks.
Yeah, I heard that they were actually really well, like you said, they're not trying to, they weren't trying to slander or anything like that. So I'm glad to hear that. Well, listen, Tim, I want to thank you for coming on. We're down to our last 2 minutes, and I got some closing statements I want to make. So I appreciate you coming on again. If you want to get in touch with Tim about the Arizona State Guard LLC joining up or helping out, supporting them, whatever, you can get in touch with them at 602-290-4784. Or you can email any questions, comments you have to me, and then I'll get them to him, and then he can get in touch with you guys from there until they get their own email system set up.
Randy, thank you so much for having me. I just want to let you know that we really appreciate the opportunity to reach out to your listeners and let them know what we're doing.
Hey, I appreciate what you guys are doing out there as well. And again, thank you for the, you know, I hope this works out well for you guys, and maybe it'll be a way that the rest of the militias out there can actually get, you know, maybe start getting something more solid going for them as well.
Okay, so, well, that's great.
I'll be keeping tabs on you. Again, you and I will stay in contact.
Have a wonderful night, sir. I'll let you go at this point.
All right, well, listen, you take care. You have a great one. And thank you so much. Bye. Bye-bye. All right, everybody, that was Tim Guinea, and I really appreciate him coming on. I'll be honest, I had concerns as well, which was one of the reasons I wanted to leave the LLC stuff to the end of the show. I figured at that point it would get very contentious and we would have a lot of concerns and questions. I know I did. A lot of stuff got cleared up, though. And I like what they're doing, so there's my two cents on that. Tomorrow, or this next week's show is coming up. Sunday, we're going to have Cav Scout on with us. We're going to be talking about guerrilla tactics, the psychology of the methodology, engaging in, things like that. Not going to be your typical show. Not going to be talking about typical guerrilla warfare either. We're going to be talking about atypical. So, for those of you who are wondering about troop movements, things like that, it's kind of hard to explain these things over the radio or over the air or whatever, even on video. But we're going to make an attempt, and we're going to talk about some of these things as well this Sunday. Next Monday, we're going to have the East Washington 63rd Brigade on. Ed Lesarge is one incredible guy. I like him a lot. The following week, we're going to have, well, actually, we've got more shows lined up next week as well. So we've got a bunch of great shows coming up. So if you want to stay in the loop on what's coming up, you can email me at randymack@youhavetreadonme.com. And I will send you out and put subscribe me in the email. I'll get you on the mailing list. I only send out 2 emails a week, one for the Sunday show, one for the Monday show. Other than that, work on your committees of safety. We really need to get those up and running. Somebody had made a comment in the chat room that they asked if you could imagine what it would be like, what it's going to look like in 5 years, in reference to illegal aliens having more rights than more freedoms than Americans and more rights than Americans. My response to that was, I can envisage a much different America in 5 years from now, if we actually started putting 100%, 110% effort into the committees of safety and building our militias. I can envisage a much different America. If we actually discussed it, if we talked about it, if we promoted it with our every breath, if we talked about and promoted the plan, the committees of safety and our militia with every breath, online, offline, I could imagine a much different America 5 years from now. Think on those thoughts for a while tonight. And with that being said, Dave, you were kind of quiet tonight. Do you have anything in closing?
Oh, I definitely agree with what you just said. You know, it's up to us to write the next chapter in our history here. We've got an opportunity to set the ship right. It's going to take a lot of work and a lot of vigilance to set it straight, and we're going to have to remain vigilant to keep this from happening again. Maybe we'll learn from our history this time. But, yeah, definitely start getting those committees of safety and militias up and working together. That's the most critical thing we can be doing right now. I've got a bunch of stuff going on the technical back end. I did have a question, you know, earlier about the podcast that had been sourced off of Blog Talk. So if anybody's been trying to subscribe to the podcast, you know, it's all the old Blog Talk shows, so there's no new stuff there. But that's going to get addressed this week, and there will be a new podcast. So those of you who use iTunes to get the archives, that will be forthcoming. Tonight's archive will be a little bit delayed, and we're probably just going to go ahead and resume the archives where we left off when we started the show, so I can piece the show back together and overcome the technical difficulties. I'll get it, you know, posted sometime
later tonight. It's liable to be a couple hours. I apologize for the delay on that.
I'm going to buy a mic here. I'm going to buy a damn headset this week, man, so I can start streaming it, because I know it's hard on your system. And the only thing keeping me from streaming it, everybody, is the fact that I don't have a headset yet. I have other stuff, so. But not my headset broke, so I don't have it, so I can't do what Dave is doing, because I would need a headset. So, with that being said, everybody, thank you for listening in. Be safe, be free. We're done. Good night.